Yeah, definitely. Like, I always like to keep an eye on the Paralympics and when they're going to the World Championships and Europeans, especially the athletic side. So it's nice to see that they're off again. So I always just like to keep an eye out.
Sure. And listen, we don't have too many Olympians here in County Wexford who are still here anyway. So you're in a very special class of people. So just tell me about your journey to actually getting to the games. When did you first take up the discus?
I took up the discus very young. I suppose my first major competition was in 1998 when I went to the World Championships in Birmingham, where I won my first gold medal and broke world record in the discus. And then my first Paralympics would be Sydney, and the next one then would have been Beijing, and the next one then would have been London.
Perfect. So when did you first realize that you were good enough to actually head to a World Championships and not only get the gold medal that time, but break the world record as was at the time?
Basically, just I've met my coach Pat Furlong. He said, like, just give it a try and see how it's on. And then it was just from there on, we just said we'd keep going. Just went to training sessions with different athletes and things like that in New Ross. And it was a sport that I found that I liked, the discus and the club, and just went from there basically.
And were you a sporty child beforehand? You mentioned you do swimming there sometimes.
In school, there was nothing really that I could compete at, and all my sisters there were great footballers and things like that, and I couldn't do anything like that. So it was kind of hard for me to sit back and watch anything like that. So when these sports then came up, it was great that I could do something like that, and so it was great to have something that I could finally do.
Absolutely. And did you have any kind of heroes in the sport then that you looked up to?
Not really in China. I always liked rugby and Peter Stringer in the rugby.
Yes, of course. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, we have a new Ross man playing rugby for Ireland now at the minute as well.
Yes, we have Tyke Furlong, and he doesn't live too far away in Camp Hyle, so it's great to see that we have a lot of local people as well, so which is great.
And Sophie Becker as well, who's not too far away
Yes,
in
Sophie
Ballykelly,
Becker,
so.
yes, which is great. And the time I was going out to London, we had Bráinne Murphy,
Yes, of course. Yeah. So,
which is great to see, like, you know.
yeah, absolutely. And listen, your category when you were competing, that was the discus throw F51 class. So, can you just explain
Yes.
what that means to us?
It's, we're all classed different on our disabilities. So I'd be pushing, because of my disability, I'd be classed F51. And then you have from F51 to F57. We have a classification where I'd be in with all 51s, where 57s all go in 57s because of our disabilities. We have a classification, so they make sure that we're in the right classifications, where I, because of my disability, that I wouldn't be put in with somebody that's 57, which would be a stronger disability than my disability.
Were you always getting support then from the people around you when you decided that you were going to be this world-class athlete, or was there kind of a feeling that, you know, people thought you might have been, you know, wasting your time?
Sometimes a lot of people didn't know the difference between Paralympics and able-bodied Olympics and Special Olympics. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the Special Olympics or anything like that. I suppose it's the media side which kind of lets us down a little bit as well. Like, we don't get the coverage that we need, like, especially like when you see all the coverage that the able-bodied Olympics has got this time and every time, and when you see the coverage that the Paralympics are only getting while they're out there this year, RTE and things like that.
Yeah, and that is kind of disappointing, and I suppose that's, you know, why we've decided to get you on to kind of level that balance a little bit, because, you know, these Paralympians, they have put in just as much work as the able-bodied athletes, haven't they?
Oh, definitely. Like, you know what I mean? If not harder, like, you know what I mean? And they've had a tough time with the pandemic as well, the same as the able-bodied athletes would have, like, you know what I mean? So, and as I said, like, you know what I mean? Like, I was even watching the able-bodied athletes, like, you know what I mean? They had coverage right through the morning and then right through the night as well, where, like, the Paralympics won't get that, unfortunately. It's going to be on RTE Player. And then it's going to be on RTE for an hour and a half in the morning, and then you have highlights in the evening. Like, BBC is covering it fully on Channel 4, and then you can see it on YouTube, and you can live stream it as well. And then there's an app for Tokyo on the phone. But like, it's disappointing to see all the coverage that the able body got, and like, we don't get half of it.
No, that's
disappointing.
Listen, it's not just the, you know, support from television companies and from media like ourselves. You know, it's financial support, I suppose, as well. And we heard the stories of the likes of Kelly Harrington and Emmett Brennan. They were saying that they found it hard to get money because they weren't classified as elite athletes. And I suppose when you're heading to the Paralympics, it must be difficult to get financial backing as well.
It is, because like, you have elite athletes gone out there, like on the athletic side. I'm not too like familiar with cycling and swimming and a little bit, but like, you have Michael McGill up there who's been at 4 games, like Jason Smith, this is his 4th Games, and Niamh McCarthy for 2nd Games. Like, Jason Smith is the fast Paralympian, like Michael McGill is his 4th Paralympics, and like, you know what I mean, they're all elite athletes. No offense to Kelly Harrington, but they were talking about giving her the freedom of city, like, and there's never anything about that about us.
No, no.
Like, even when I came home with my medal in 2012, like, you know what I mean? Not saying anything bad about it or anything like that, but like, we're just as good as athletes as the able bodied.
No, absolutely. And do you think now that when you look back on, you know, your brilliant memories of 2012, is it kind of coloured a little bit because you didn't get the open top bus and everything like that?
Yeah, it was a little bit disappointing, like, you know what I mean? But don't get me wrong, what Ross did was great and everything like that. But I still don't think, like, it's nearly 22, and still Paralympics is not getting the same as the able-bodied Olympics.
We're a country that loves to see winners, you know. It doesn't really matter if it's tiddlywinks or boxing or, you know, discus. We just want to see winners. And you're somebody who came home with a silver medal, and I guess that must have been really satisfying for you, because you went out to Sydney, you had a good finish there, you had another good finish in Beijing, and then you finally got that medal in London when you were, with the World Championship, of course.
Yeah, then it was just a rule change, and it just wasn't going to suit my throne, and like, we might as well like retire on a high then leave it, like, you know what I mean, going out and not getting picked or something like that.
Listen, we'll just finish up by just looking at some of the Irish athletes. You've mentioned a couple of them that are heading out there already. So Jason Smith is somebody that really should be, you know, all over our newspapers, because he is legitimately one of the fastest men in the world. He is somebody that we really should get behind, shouldn't he?
Yeah, Jason, like, as I said, like, he's going for his 6th gold medal, his 4th Games. He hasn't lost a competitive Paralympic race. And you have Michael McGillop, and he's overcome serious injury now this year to make it onto the team. And you have Mary Fitzgerald from Kilkenny, not too far away. She's going for her 1st game, and she threw a PB in Templemore last weekend, and of PB of 8.12. And you have Jordan Lee, he's from Kerry, he's a high jumper, this will be his 1st game. And you have Niamh McCarthy, this is her 2nd game, she's won a silver at Rio, and she's world champion bronze as well. Great team camp as well. And you have Orla Comfort on the athletic, and you have Patrick Monaghan for the marathon. Cycling, swimming, and you have individual sports as well. Yes, 29 athletes altogether going out.
It is absolutely brilliant, and the likes of Katie George Dunleavy and Eve McChrystal are names that people might remember from the cycling as well. So do you expect that there will be a couple of medals coming home there? We've mentioned Jason Smith. And,
yeah, they're expecting 6 to 10 medals,
which would be amazing. Absolutely.
Yeah,
from 29 athletes.
They've touched down in Tokyo today, and are heading on to a holding camp in the city until today, and then they'll transfer to the athletic village in Tokyo, where the games will begin on August 24th.
Brilliant. So they have a bit of time to wait, and it's COVID, and it has to be the mandatory hotel.
Yeah, it's kind of acclimatise and just get a bit of training in beforehand. And because with the pandemic, they'll probably just stay in the village and then just go to their competition and come back again. And
that all has to be done, but I'm sure they'll enjoy themselves. There was some great stories about
sure
the Irish athletes.
Like, you know what I mean? It's another Paralympics, and people that haven't been at Paralympics before, I'm sure they'll enjoy the opening and the closing ceremony. It'll just be a little bit different with being the pandemic and things like that, but I'm sure it'll be Paralympics to remember the same.
A final question here. You know, you were somebody who didn't have, you know, that many actual Paralympic heroes to look up to when you started getting into world championships and heading to the Olympics yourself. So we mentioned the coverage that the team doesn't really get. So hopefully people will start to check out and start to, you know, pay more attention to these athletes, and that maybe might inspire the next generation of Paralympic athletes coming through.
Yeah, because, like, you know what I mean, there's not a lot out there at the moment. And as I said before, like, you know what I mean, you see every 4 years the coverage that the able-bodied Olympics are getting, and that when it comes to our turn, then we're not getting the same coverage. And if we could get that coverage, it will make a big difference to us, like, and for everybody to see that we're just as good as the Olympic athletes.